Good morning, everyone. It's another beautiful morning here in Kelowna. Wow. It's just been absolutely fantastic. And I hope your feast has been as fulfilling for you as it has been for me, because it's just been a marvelous time for me to be here, to hear the messages that the other fellows have given that were very meaningful to me. And also the video that we had here a couple of days ago, I found to be very nostalgic and enjoyable to see some of the people that I haven't seen since Pasadena days that can't imagine, they're all getting older. Not me. No, like Dawn said, that it's true. I had the blessing of being married to a wonderful woman for 54 years, and she died 15 months ago, and it has taken this period of time for me to get used to the idea of being single, and it's really different. So, but anyway, it's a new phase of life for me that undoubtedly will hold new adventures for me to explore, and with life, there are always obstacles in your path that we need to overcome. Now, my first Feast of Tabernacles was in Squaw Valley in 1961. So this, if you count all your fingers, comes up to about number 48. And I can tell you that a lot of water has gone under the bridge as far as my life is concerned, and also the church experience. And that there have been a lot of disappointments and frustrations and discouragements, but also that God does provide the joyful and uplifting experiences along the way. And all of it, since the day of my calling, this has been an amazing spiritual journey that has changed my entire life. But I am human, and I have to confess that there's been, I guess, more times than I care to admit that I was tempted to toss in the towel. And some of you know what I'm talking about. But what stopped me was what God had implanted in here was a mental image of what he was holding out to me and to you. And since this is my last time to talk to you, I want to leave you with just a little something. What we need to remember, brethren, that it is the vision and the hope of the kingdom of God that will keep us going. That whatever our trials, whatever our discouragements or frustrations or problems that we face in this merry-go-round that we call life, that it is the vision and the hope of God's kingdom and of being a part of the family of God that will provide the anchor to keep us secure from drifting off course and giving up. Now, I don't have the words to describe it, but brethren, there is a world coming that is so wonderful that it's difficult for even to conceive it. And this is God's promise to us. And it is without question the greatest blessing that could be bestowed on anyone. It far exceeds in importance any other thing in life that we could think of. There's no earthly possession or position, no earthly goal or desire, anywhere near as important as being in God's kingdom and to rule in the world tomorrow. I don't know how else to say it. What's coming is real. And I'm sorry to say that not all of us will be there. And this concerns me. It concerns the ministry. And does that have to be? Does somebody have to miss out? No. So let's give this a little bit of thought. Now, I think that there are many of you that have been a part of this way of life for many, many years, and you can think of a name or two or more of individuals that were once a part of our fellowship, and they were undoubtedly a variety of reasons why they are no longer with us. And neither I nor any of us should be a judge of them for what they've did. But based on my understanding of human nature and to being witness to the many that have left, I believe that one of the main reasons was that they got distracted by life's problems and past guilt and unresolved personal issues. Now, I wish I had an hour or more to talk to you on that alone, because that is a huge problem in the church. And it's something that needs to be talked about more and more. But with the people that have left, whatever their reason, it was their choice. And they lost their focus. Now, years ago, some of you will remember that one of the church publications stated that the very first law of success is to have the right goal and to keep that goal uppermost in our minds. Now, some older members here will remember a statement by Winston Churchill many years ago that he said, there is a purpose being worked out here below, and I believe that each of us was called to be here at this particular time in history for a purpose. And God chose you and me and opened our minds to see and understand what that purpose is. Now, in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14, God reveals to us that goal through Paul, where he says, one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind. And I wish I had the time to repeat that a dozen times for you, because those are the things behind us are that create the obstacles in our path. Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And in verse 11, the goal Paul was referring to is being in the kingdom of God. Now, how about it, people? Is being there our heart's desire? Is that goal, that objective, constantly in our thoughts and in our prayers? Or are the problems of everyday living consuming our thoughts with the negative? And I hope that we're paying attention to our thought patterns. Now, in the video, as you remember, those longtime members were reminiscing about the old days. And I think we all have stories that we could tell. Now, I want to tell you about a couple. Now, I know that I have talked about this couple many, many times to many people, and so I kind of lose track of who I said it to or what, but I'm going to tell you again about Chloe and Bernie Shippert. They were a pioneer couple that were in Oregon, and back in the 40s, when Mr. Armstrong moved down to Pasadena, they packed up their stuff and they moved down there with him. Now, they didn't have money, but anyway, they got by, and Mr. Armstrong watched over them, and the Shipperts were involved in whatever needed to be done at that time. Their hearts were solidly in the work. Now, my family and I moved to Pasadena in 1971, and we met the Shipperts. And by this time, they were retired, and they lived in a very nice apartment on the upper campus. There's a name for the apartment buildings, but I don't remember that. But it was their habit on the Sabbath to have a few students and a few employees come in for the Sabbath dinner. Well, Chloe was an absolute spellbinder. She loved to talk, and she would share with us their early experiences in the church of the Feast of Tabernacles at Belknap Springs, Siegler Springs, and Big Sandy. And she would tell us about the unity, the sharing, and the love that they had for one another. You know, back in those years, the brethren had very little money, but they came to whatever spot that God had set out for them to congregate, and they brought with them whatever they had. Vegetables, somebody would bring in a side of beef, there would be chickens and all the other stuff that goes into feeding a group of people. You know, brethren, you take a look at what's going on in the world today, and I would not be a bit surprised that one day we will be called upon to do the same thing. And I hope that we all have such a desire and love for God that we would be able to do something like that. Then I remember Chloe vividly describing her impression, her vision of what the world tomorrow would be like. And the rest of us would listen to her, and then we would chime in with what we thought that it might look like. So why am I telling you all this? It's because this is exactly, brethren, this is exactly what we need to do to keep that vision alive in our minds, to talk it up in our congregations and with one another, to keep this goal, this vision, a bright light before us so that we won't go off course. Well, the shepherds have been gone for many years now, but they certainly set a marvelous example for us. And because of their sharing and keeping that vision alive and bright, there are former students and employees of the college that are still with us because, and I believe this, that because of the shepherds and their sharing. And I include myself in that group. Brethren, we can't afford to lose the vision of the world tomorrow. Scripture says in Proverbs 29, it tells us that where there is no vision, the people perish. Boy, I hope you really understand all the ramifications of that statement, because it is so true. It is so true, brethren. And you know that if you could almost close your eyes and get a picture of what it's like, the world tomorrow in technicolor, stereophonic sound, all the smells and everything that goes along with it, you could almost reach through that vision in your mind and touch it and grab it. That's what we need to do, brethren. Well, as we watch the world events around us, and I'll put it bluntly, everything's going to hell in a handbasket. And that's fine, because that's what has to take place before the return of our Savior, Jesus Christ. But between now and that time, the kingdom of God should be the number one thing on our minds. And I hope you realize, and I hope you're feeling, that these are exciting times that we live in. You know, what a wonderful time this feast has been. And all of you that I have met, you are a delightfully friendly group of people. And I hope that I can get back this way again, but if not, keep that vision bright and never, 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 never give up, because that is never an option. Well, brethren, I'm out of time, and so I'm going to leave you with this. Mr. Armstrong was a man of incredible vision, and he kept us always pointed toward the kingdom of God because he was a man that was kingdom conscious. Now, many years ago, my wife Jo and I had the honor of being at a social occasion where Mr. Armstrong proposed a toast. It was just three words, but these words showed where his heart was and where ours need to be. And he said simply, with great meaning and dignity, to the kingdom.